It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 669. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Can leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial, and you can also go directly to instanthousecall.com. This show is also brought to you by Malwarebytes. Malwarebytes has a portable all-in-one computer toolkit called the Malwarebytes Toolset to help you diagnose, remediate, repair, and secure PCs. One of the great features, when you first launch the toolset, there's an option on the left-hand side for history. You get the system restore, how many restore points there are, and you can directly open, volume shadows, how many, and you can get the details, was there any crash dumps, a USB history, a boot history, and system events. Now, I'm looking at my system, and it's telling me there's 5,067 errors and 42 warnings because I don't check my system events enough. It's a great, quick snapshot of everything, and you can get more information by going to the Malwarebytes site. It's in the show notes, the link. Stop by miketechshow.com. and check it out. I have a great show for tonight. Lots of good topics, things that I've been solving, things I've been working on, and then some new stuff I just want to share. And then we're going to wrap it all up on Windows 10 1809, which I've gotten a little chance to play with this week. So we're going to talk about QuickBooks, the multi-user fix problem, Firefox monitor, and then some Windows 10 registry hacks that I think you're going to like. After listening to this, you're going to want to come back to the show notes for all these great links, and you have a little homework, so some things for you to try for listening tonight. So let's begin. I have several clients that continue to have issues where they have multiple users accessing QuickBooks. So they have a multi-user license, which automatically means you have to have the QuickBooks Database Manager running from a Windows system that you're storing all of your data files. And the problem is the monitor service stops running. Don't know why, it just randomly stops running, and it's been bugging me and some of my clients. I have to go in, go to the QBCF monitor service under services and start it. Then you got to go to the database manager and you got to do a rescan. Here's the trick, and I have the article that links with great screenshots. If you continue to have a problem where users complain that multi-user mode will not work, go to where the database service is running. Under all of the QuickBooks services, open each one, go to the recovery option, and on every service, there are three options: first failure, second failure, and subsequent failures. On each one of them, I want you to pick restart the service. So if it fails, at least it'll try to restart. I want you to do that on every single QuickBooks service running. So at least the service will try to recover itself real fast and the users may not even notice it. I have had great success over the last 2 weeks where this was constantly happening. I don't know that it solved the problem, but it sure looks like it has. Now, there's another step after you've done this. You got to go to the QuickBooks database server manager, make sure the database server's running, but on the first tab, scan folders, start a scan, because that will repair if there's any network issues and it finds all the files on the network. So I would manually do this and remote in when they would call, and that is just a real problem. Give that a try. I know a lot of you support QuickBooks, and this is a great tip on trying to keep those services up and running. And of course, you know, use that for other services that you find from time to time they stop or start. Now, this is no guarantee it's going to solve everything for a service not starting. There could be a lot of other reasons that aren't repaired, and so therefore it can't start. But this is something really good to be proactive to try. Ken shared with me, and I was going to talk about this last week, and I didn't have time to do a show. And then I was kind of ill over the weekend, and so my plans to do a weekend show kind of crumbled quickly. I'm going to talk about Firefox Monitor. Do you remember a site that I've talked about a lot called Have I Been Owned? And it's PWNED. And it's where you can put your email address and see if your email has been compromised from different software. I mean, everybody's has been compromised by Adobe and so many other software because of the breaches. Look at what just happened with Facebook. Well, how about proactively being notified if your email now goes on one of these lists? Mozilla has a partnership now, at least in its current iteration, and I have a link to this article, and it's all about spreading awareness of Troy Hunt's data breach database, Have I Been Owned? With it, you'll quickly be able to determine if your email address has been compromised, and you'll get a notification. Now, the first link for this Firefox Monitor, you just enter your email address, do a scan, and then it will send you an email to verify. So, and that, and you can do, well, after you can sign up, which is stay safe with the Firefox Monitor protection. And you'll get a full report on your compromised accounts and notifications anytime your account appears in a new data breach. I highly recommend this. So there'll be two links talking about the new Firefox Monitor. Another link, and I want to talk about great registry hacks for fixing annoying Windows features. And I'm going to give you the first one right off the bat. I have to have. This is to right click on anything you want to either copy or move, and finally get an option, copy to or move to. These are great registry hacks that are very simple to implement. And that's the one I've been using the most. But you also have make take ownership work with folders too. That's another good option. Hide open PowerShell window here from the Explorer context menu. Add command prompt here to the Explorer context menu. Adjust the duration of menu animations. Here's one that I absolutely love, which is shut down Windows more quickly. When you shut down or restart Windows, the operating system instructs all running processes to terminate. And sometimes a program won't do that. And you always have to click, you know, I absolutely want to change. Well, there's a little hack to auto end tasks. And you just got to set that registry entry to 1. It should help with the annoying message, this app is preventing shutdown message. Take a look at these. This collection of great little Windows hacks for the registry. And of course, be careful. Anytime you're going to edit anything in the registry, first open the registry edit as an administrator. So when you start searching for regedit, before you click to open it, right-click, pick Run as Administrator, go to the top point of the registry, click File, Export, and export your registry and save at a safe place. Because if you screw things up, you could always put the registry back. Agent in the Shadows in the chat. The ultimate Windows tweaker for Windows 10 can do this. And that's a UWT4 for Win 10. I will look up the link for that and put that in the show notes. I've absolutely used that in the past. And that's one where the registry tweaks are done for you. You just click the option you want and it will perform that registry edit. This link that I'm talking about right now is for the person who wants to just manually go in and hack away at the registry for a couple features that you want. Take a look at that. Give me your thoughts on that stuff. Let me know if you like it. Last week, I was helping a client prepare for video conference call with their clients. This is an attorney who moved to Maine, but still has clients in this area, in the Philadelphia vicinity. She was looking at different prices, and she's only going to be using a conference call for one person, like one group of people. So there's only going to be one in the actual conference. It's not going to be many. Given that, if you only have one, or even if you have many, you want to check this out. It's Zoom, and it's zoom.us. I first used Zoom once when I had Malwarebytes on last year as a guest. We couldn't get connected via Skype, but we did connect via Zoom. Zoom is free, unlimited for video conferencing, audio, video. You can share your screen if you're doing it with one person. Now, the free version, if you have multiple, you're limited to like 40 minutes. There's a list of prices that are pretty reasonable for anybody looking to do video conferencing. And I performed tests with my client, and it was a piece of cake to participate. We did a couple tests. We tested where I was using a headset and a microphone for the audio, and then we tested with the telephone because they give you a conference bridge for your participants to dial in so they don't have to have a computer hooked up and a monitor. And it's very much like GoToMeeting and some of the other players in this. Zoom, if you don't do it a lot, like I don't do video conferences, but if I needed to share my screen with someone and needed to go over with just one person to demonstrate something, wow, what an easy way. So sign up, check it out, kick the tires. It doesn't cost you anything. And it's a great way to at least have that in your bag to be able to pull out if you need to be able to, you know, you have to perform video conference. One of the things I like, it automatically turns on a camera if you have a camera, but the participant can just click on the video and mute their video, you know, and you let them know that in case all of a sudden they have a camera and maybe they don't want you to see them and all of a sudden there they are. So you want to warn them that the camera will come on. Thought that was kind of funny. And I mean, luckily I was dressed and had no problem, you know, when I was participating with this. Very simple to sign up, very simple to use, and I wanted to share that. A Firefox annoyance that I don't get. I just flat out don't understand something. How come if I want a homepage that I can easily, in the options, pick custom URL, and if I want Google as my homepage, I can type in the Google URL, and every time I open Firefox, my default, or anytime I click the home button, I get Google. Well, how come that doesn't work when you click the plus sign for a new tab? You only have options for their default page, which I don't like, and a blank page. But when I click the plus, I want the page that I want to open. Well, you have to get an extension, and it's titled New Tab override web extension. Why do we have to do that? It would be so easy. They already have the custom button right above for the home button. Why not add that option? It would be so easy to have a custom and put a URL in there for when you open up a new tab. But they don't. And luckily, there's an extension, so I have to install that on every system that I'm, my personal systems, because it's an annoyance. Now, that brings up a couple things. What, in either Firefox, Chrome, any of your browsers, what are your real pet peeves and annoyances? And what extension did you have to search and install to solve an annoyance? Let me know so I can share them. I'll put a collection of them together. You are doing a phenomenal job of getting back to me from the last show, and I just posted that this week, on Evernote alternatives. I'm getting great emails, a great voicemail. I can't wait to do a show in a couple weeks on note-taking alternatives to Evernote. You're really coming through. Keep them coming. And let's do the same with browser annoyances. So as I start to share them, you're going to think, wow, boy, that really is an annoyance. And I've just gotten used to it and I can solve it. And maybe we can have an extension or two that we can bring to light and help you out to make you more productive. So I like hearing things like that and I like to try them out. That's a lot of fun. And this is a great segue into new and trying out. So Wednesday, yesterday, I had barely have had 24 hours to play with Windows 10 1809. One of my consulting laptops, I installed it yesterday. And I installed it on my test system. There's some interesting little features that I think were cool. But let me give you some statistics on a laptop that's a very early generation Core i7. It's got a Samsung SSD, and it's got 8 gigs of RAM. It's an older Lenovo laptop, and it's a big, heavy laptop. But it does have a Core i7. It's got decent RAM, and it's what I use for a couple clients when I'm on site. It's literally my desktop when I'm on site. I only have a couple clients I use it for, and I upgraded this one. And yesterday, it took 45 minutes to download and install. And I was on a Comcast connection that was 100 meg. The first restart, when it said it was ready to go, and I clicked and I hit the restart, it took 20 minutes and it was 4 reboots during the installation. Then when I got the prompt to sign in, it was 5 minutes after I hit the password. Now, normally, that system boots in 10 seconds. It was definitely still setting up things for my first login. Of course, logins after that were much, much, much faster. The whole process, 70 minutes from beginning to end, not horrible. First thing I did was run all the software that I use. Does Fabs Auto Backup 7 Pro launch and copied some files? Does Instant House Call work? I tested Instant House Call and connected back to my test system and started the install through Instant House Call. Does Malwarebytes have any problems with the latest version 3.6.1? That was doing a scan, no problem. Does the Malwarebytes TechBench toolset work with no errors? It did. Does Evernote work? Because even though we're looking for a replacement, want to make sure Evernote works. What about Office 365? Now, anytime you're doing an OS update, I strongly recommend that you go into your account options of whatever version of Office you're using and check to see if there are updates. And of course, there were. I ran the updates and then tested. Outlook 2016, which is the current Outlook of 365, is still a pig. It takes forever to launch. And everything else runs great. Word snaps, Excel snaps, but not Outlook. They still have issues with Outlook. I know they do. I mean, it starts faster than it did a few months ago, way back when they were having major, major issues, but it still does not launch fast enough. And I have no add-ins really on Outlook. So I've disabled the add-ins and it still takes the same time to launch. It's a problem that I have with every customer that has Office 365. Outlook does not perform as fast as my client would like, nor myself. So that's just another pet peeve on Outlook. I wish they would fix that. So Windows 10, I'm going to have the new version. This is the October update. I'm going to have two links talking about features, talking about what if you don't want this. So I have some corporate clients that if you go to, you have to have Windows 10 Pro, and I want you to go to the settings and then go to update and security. Take a look at advanced options. Now, right now, my system, I have the updates paused because I don't want an update impacting me doing a show, or I need to be very careful when an update's going to happen. But here's a couple things you may not be aware of. The 1809 is considered a feature update because it includes new capabilities and improvements. So under choose when updates are installed, you have two options. Semi-annual channel targeted. That means, and it explains it right there, the update is ready for most people. But there's another option that is semi-annual channel, which means it's ready for widespread use in organizations. I like to have that option. But you don't use that option if you want to be a guinea pig and get the update quickly. So you would need to have the first option. I like the semi-annual channel. Now, how long should you wait for a new capability and improvement? Some clients, I have this discussion, some clients like 30 days, some like 60. So a client that we are rolling out next week, 10 new laptops, we selected 60 days because we just finished configuring them this week and I was not going to tempt fate with 1809 when I haven't put it through all of its paces yet. So we agreed 60 days and that's what we're setting our systems. Most clients out there, I like 30. I don't want them to have new features that aren't ready yet. Just some advanced settings that you can control a little bit when some of these updates are happening. And you might not have looked into that. That's why I wanted to make sure you were aware, because for this update, you could actually hold off for 365 days. Now, you can still get security updates. You're just not going to get the big new feature update. So what's new? What's exciting? I'm going to give you the things that I found that I actually like. The snipping tool improvements. There's now an option called mode. And when you click mode, you can not just snip with a rectangle. You can snip freeform. You can snip a window, or you can snip the whole screen. So that, I kind of like that little mode option now. It defaults, whatever you pick that mode, the next time you run the snipping tool, be careful because I fell into that trap. The mode is the last mode that you selected. So if you like the rectangle, but you occasionally just use another option, make sure you switch it back. There is a cloud clipboard that I just cannot get to work yet. I have my Microsoft account, which you have to have for this feature to work. I don't have all the settings yet, so I got to do research. If you turn on cloud clipping, when you automatically run the snipping tool or you copy anything, you can hit the Windows key V and it automatically comes up with everything that you've clipped, that you've saved. Now, supposedly, that's to automatically sync with your Microsoft account. So if you're at work and you clip some things, you could come home, go Windows V, and you would get the same options that you've clipped. if I want to cut and paste and I want to cut and paste across multiple systems using the cloud, that's a cool feature. But I have not got that to work yet. I've got it all set up. I thought I had it. And I still have to sit here with like my laptop and then my test system and try a little more. And then when I get those settings exact for what options you got to pick, because I think I have something somewhere where I have everything turned off for the maximum privacy, and I may have inadvertently stopped syncing somewheres where there was a radio button that I might have turned off. So I have to do further digging, and I just haven't had time. So I don't think they would put it out there if it didn't work. Well, I take that back. Yeah, they could have, but I'm really hoping that that'll work. There's a new screenshot tool where you hit the Windows key, Shift, and S, and you get a nice option at the top for doing screenshots. I like that. Another feature is the search preview from the start menu. I use this right away. If I'm searching for a document on my laptop and I go to the search, it opens up landscape across your screen. And let's say it's for documents are coming up that contain the words that I'm searching for. If I touch one of the documents, it's an auto preview mode right from within the start menu. That's kind of cool. So I found that useful for quickly searching for something. It doesn't seem to have broken anything, but I need more time with 1809. I just wanted to quickly bring up some of the things that I like. And so two links tonight on this. One is Windows 10 October 2018 update. How to get it, how to avoid it. So that's pretty good. And then the Windows 10 October 2018 update, the 10 best new features. There's one here, your phone. I have not even begun to ever want to sync anything from Windows yet to my iPhone. The cloud clipboard we talked about. This one I want to check out, and it's the dark theme for File Explorer. I haven't tested that. There's also a dark theme for your Edge, which I did test. The reason I bring up the dark theme is I'm using the dark theme for my dashboard for Twitch. The way I'm set up in broadcasting this show, if I have too much white coming from the big monitors that I'm surrounded with in front of me, it causes that glare. So the more dark themes that I have will help with the video for the show. So when you see something pop up, it's really bright. All of a sudden, if you're watching the video, it's because I brought up my browser and it's not a dark theme. So I'm even going to toy with tweaking Firefox to where it's reverse, like the text is white, everything else is dark. So I never thought I would embrace dark themes. I'm only going to embrace it when I'm broadcasting. Let's keep going. Search previews I talked about, the new screenshot tool, some Edge improvements, better HDR support and ray tracing support. Not interested yet. Power usage and task manager. I think that's going to be big on laptops, obviously. Make text bigger across Windows 10. Haven't tested that. And the new game bar features. Of course, I am not a gamer, so that's something I will probably never use just because I'm not a gamer. Today, let's do some story from the trenches. It was extremely busy. I got two calls, two separate clients, and I mean they're not even remotely close to each other. Both have Optiplex 990s, one a tower, one a small footprint. Power supplies died. I got them sitting behind me. I just ordered two new power supplies that I'm going to be popping them in. They're going to arrive tomorrow. I'm going to pop them in and get them back. And one of them was for a CPA firm. It was their peer server that they used to store tax files. And of course, it's backed up. But what my son did, thinking very, very fast, there was another system just like it. And he said, can you do without that one for a little bit? And they said, absolutely. He popped the power supply out of there, popped it in, and they're up and running. Very, very happy. Now, the other office is a big dental office, and they have a lot of other systems. This was not critical. So he was able to take that and bring it. No problem. The third was just cloning a solid state drive for a laptop. But the laptop's a little older, and it's hard to do a clone on a laptop that's limited with USBs. And my son had a real problem with this working properly, and it was taking too long. I said, can you bring the laptop back to the home office here when I get back? My test system, I really like this. It's got four USB 3 ports. And this is, my test system is this little baby ThinkPad small mini computer that has a terabyte SSD, 16 gigs of RAM. It's a Core i5, and this thing is very tiny, but it is my go-to test system. And there's a permanent docking station connected to one of those USB 3 ports. I have an Acronis USB stick in one. I use a cable, a USB 3 cable, and put the new SSD connected to it, and then drop the laptop drive in the docking station, boot, do the clone, 15 minutes, we're done. As a matter of fact, my son left a few hours ago and has the laptop with him. He's delivering that first thing in the morning. Tomorrow, I have a big router migration for financial advisors, and that's tricky. I've done this before, but all their IPs are changing. When the corporate office puts in this new router and they're changing the IP schemes, that means all the static IPs for the printers are changing. That means I got to go visit all the systems and make sure they're working. Their voice over IP system, so they're using NetCarrier, so I got to work with NetCarrier, making sure all the phones are working. It's a lot of work, and that's what's happening first thing in the morning tomorrow. We're going to be on site after he drops that laptop off, and we're going to be deploying this, quote, managed router that is changing everything for the local office. And we, you know, I got everything ready with all the IPs, and, you know, it's just going to take time and testing. I have to do all that. So that's just some of the things that we're working on. We have a whole bunch of laptops that are brand new for my one client that we did not want to put 1809 on, and that we're deploying next week, and they have a lot of remote people. So we got to time that. They got to bring in their existing laptop, and we got to transfer the data. And of course, they're going to be using FABs. If you've been clicking on my affiliate link, I still have to fix it at a couple places. I have a new link for FABs Auto Backup 7 Pro that now works properly. And in the last show notes that I posted it, that link works. I'm going to go through and try to figure out all the other links and make sure to update that, because it would not take you to the right page. All of a sudden that link stopped working, my affiliate link. But that program, we're going to use that next week for the whole 10 laptops. What a great thing. It's going to be a piece of cake. We have to announce them on the domain, the laptop, because they have a real server. And once they get connected to the domain, then set up the printers. Then we're going to pop the hard drive out of the old laptop, have a cable connect it, run FABs, transfer everything, done. Take a few minutes, and then away they go. A little announcement, if you like me as a DJ. My son, Ryan, has a radio station that he's had for a few years now, and it's i99radio.com. This coming Saturday, and I'm going to really make an attempt to do this every week, I am going to do a 90s grunge hour that I will be live as a DJ on my son's station. So I have a lot of things picked up, little tidbits before I play the song, sort of like what I do in the post show a lot here. So if you are interested, follow me on Twitter and Facebook, because I'll be tweeting and I'll Facebook it when I'm going to be on the air. We'll test that out. And of course, it'll be live, and I've already started picking my set list that I'm going to go through. It should be a lot of fun. We're looking to bring a little more content to my son's station. He has like a regular playlist, and he gets one now and then. And then he also has a friend do a weekly show, And it's starting to take off and do some. He's definitely moving the needle because he's getting attention. And you know what he's at right now? He is at a Bush concert where he has a photo pass, and I still can't go to concerts yet because of my broken foot. I just can't stand. And some of the venues now, you know, they don't have any seats anymore. This venue, the Electric Factory in Philadelphia in Center City, he's going to get to see Bush, and he's going to get to meet them, and he's going to get to photograph them. And, you know, when they do photos in the photo pit, just to digress here, it's only the first three songs, then they have to leave the pit. He has been getting some great, great music, you know, groups where he's been getting interviews and doing photos, and it's starting to really, his station's starting to take off, and he just does this on the side. So I'm looking forward to doing some work on his station, and I love telling little stories. Think of it as like an hour of the Lithium channel from XM Radio, which is one of my favorite channels. That's it. Best way to show your support for the show, go to MikeTechShow.com. In every show notes, you'll see an Amazon link. Click on that link. It supports Tech Vets. Yes, Tech Vets is still around. And the Mike Tech Show, it supports Carrie Holzman and myself. Your price stays the same. It takes you to a generic Amazon page where now anything you search in that session and buy, we will get a small commission and your price stays the same. I know it's been a lot lighter usage than in the past. And so I know it's an extra effort, but one of the reasons that my link was taken away was because you're not allowed to do that. And I didn't realize that at the time. Now you got to go through that extra effort to help support the show, but it makes a difference. And Carrie and I would really appreciate it. You're buying from Amazon. Why not help us out? That would be excellent if you can spread the word. Anybody you know buying from Amazon, that really helps. Of course, the sponsors, Instant House Call, Malware Bytes, and that Tech Bench tool set is incredible. I can't live without those programs and Fab's Auto Backup. I can't live without them. I've used them all every single day for my business. That's it. I will see everybody, hopefully, God willing, next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.